Let's open with a word of prayer, and thank you for coming on time. Father, we just bow down before you this morning with great adoration of the opportunity to come to you boldly with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And thank you for the beautiful morning. And I just, Lord, love the light more than the darkness. And now the days are getting longer, and it's light when we come. But Lord, open our hearts to your light this morning, Lord, as we look at your word. And guide us now in this time of prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we go through the prayers in the Bible this morning, we're going to pray about the blind man of Jericho in Luke 18. And so let's sing first and last stanza of 254, "Open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see.
Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key. Thou shalt unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine." Third verse. "Open my mouth and let it bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine."
Well, as I mentioned, turn to Luke 18, if you would. We've had this same situation in the Gospel of Matthew, and we've looked at it before, but you know, it's so amazing every time that we do spend some time in the Scriptures over and over again, we still find something new. And this morning, as I was looking at this, another verse jumped out at me that somehow I had missed in the past, hadn't really recognized it that well. So I'll entitle this little devotion this morning, "How is Your Witness? How is Your Witness?" The setting here is that now Jesus has given the people, their disciples, plus some Pharisees, he's given them the prayer of persistent widow. He's given them the prayer of the comparison between the Pharisee and the tax collector, in one pridefully coming and was brought down, the other one coming in a very humble way and was lifted up. Then we had last week the counseling of the rich young ruler. And he came to the Lord asking the right questions. He came to the Lord, though we see he was not honest with himself. He thought he was perfect. He said he's kept all of the law since his youth. But when Jesus told him, "There's one thing you lack, that is, go sell what you have and give to the poor," he considered it and he went away sorrowful, because he would not change his lifestyle. He would not give up his riches for Christ. And so now we have coming on in, we had a couple of other good things are possible. Of course, the disciples said, "Well, then who can be saved if a rich man can't enter the kingdom of heaven?" And God said, "With what man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now in verse 35, "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho." Now we know there were two Jerichos. The Matthew account says there were two blind men. And we could have any number of things happening. It could be between two Jerichos, one in one case and two in another. Or it could be one of the two was more vocal. But here, it only talks about one man. "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging." We're in Luke 18:35. So the first thing we see is that there's a blind man, and there was no cure for blindness in those days. And so all you could do if you were blind was to beg. So here we have a blind beggar from his youth, apparently. Now he hears, though. He hears. You know, the sight and the sound are, of course, two of our senses. And when we lose one, the other one gets more attenuated, it would seem. And he heard a multitude passing by. What does this mean? And they said, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Well, he had heard or knew or whatever that this is the Messiah that heals blind people. You know, back in Isaiah we have, he will heal the blind. The eyes of the blind are open, right? And so here he says, he recognizes who he is, so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's a total messianic title of David, a son of David for the Jews, Jesus, Son of David. So he recognizes who he is. Those going before him warned him that he should be quiet. Isn't that typical? Somebody wants to come to Jesus, we say, oh, no, oh, no, be quiet now, no, no, be quiet. But what? He cried out all the more. Another translation of that, he yelled and shrieked. So he's making a big noise here. Can't you just see our security in one of our services? I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean, somebody wants to stand up and praise the Lord. Oh, God forbid we can't have that, right? So he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He will not be deterred by their trying to calm him down. He wants to get Jesus' attention. So Jesus stood still. We see this quite often in the scriptures. Very busy, thronged with crowds and all, but when somebody calls on him out of compassion, we read in Matthew, he stood still and commanded the blind man to be brought to him. And when the blind man had come near, Jesus now asks him, what do you want me to do for you? That's a powerful question, isn't it? Have you ever thought, when you're praying to the Lord, that quite possible his response is, what do you want me to do for you? How is your prayer? Does it ever get to that point? Are you in kind of platitudes and you're really not that honest with the Lord? But he says, what do you want me to do for you? And so he simply answers, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, of course, that's where we all were, weren't we? We were all blind at one time, and we heard about Jesus. We saw Jesus in some way or fashion, and we came to him in some way or fashion, and basically we received sight, didn't we? Because he opened our eyes to him. And so Jesus is saying to him now, receive your sight. So the blind man has been healed, but now notice this struck me, this last part is being really the part I want to focus on a little bit today. We so frequently see these next words, your faith has made you well. Word faith, pistuo, could also be translated belief. Your belief has made you well. Same word in the New Testament, faith and belief. But just notice how important believing is. The trust and the confidence of knowing what Jesus can do in your prayers causes those prayers to be answered, it would seem. The absence of that will not allow the prayer to be answered. If you don't believe it can happen, it's not going to happen. I don't think Jesus is going to go against your self-will. But if you believe it can happen, and you know he can do it, and you're asking him in accordance with his will, that's when he answers the prayer, isn't it? So that's what's going to happen to us this morning. We come here believing, we come here in accordance with his will, asking in his will, and this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions. So here, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Amazing, isn't it? Just notice what that says. Now, I've said this before, and since there's so much faith and prosperity doctrine around, claim it and name it and all this kind of stuff, and if you don't get it, if you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith, we respond, I think, a little bit over the top, maybe like we do with Mary, the most blessed of all women. We don't want Mary worship, so we want to keep Mary down, you know, and I think that's appropriate. And we want to keep the faith. We're not talking about if God doesn't answer your prayer, you don't have enough faith. But what he very clearly is saying here, your faith has made you well, right? So the belief is very important. And we see the same thing, of course, in all the way through the scriptures, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that what? Whoever has faith or whoever believes. So if you don't believe, Jesus still died on the cross, whether you believe it or not. But if you don't believe it, you aren't going to receive it. And so here it seems like there's a parallel to me. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And then notice, immediately he received his sight. Praise God. That could be the end of the phrase here, but it's not. Notice what happens now. There's some very important things here to me that happens. First, he receives his sight. He was blind, now he sees. Now notice what he does. Instead of sitting begging, he's now following Jesus. Are you following Jesus? I believe you're here because you know him. Are you really following him? These people, he received his sight and he followed him. And now notice the next thing. He's glorifying God. Are you glorifying God in your life? When people see you, do they see you glorifying God? Because notice what is the response. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Now, I believe this does apply to the miracle of the healing, but I think it also applies to the glorifying God by the person who was healed. So to me, there's a witness here. If we are a good witness for the Lord and what he's done for us, glorifying him, giving him the glory, not self-glory. You know, we see testimonies quite often, don't we? Personal testimonies. And how many personal testimonies truly glorify the Lord, and how many personal testimonies have a touch of pride and this is what I did kind of thing. Listen to my story. We don't want to be telling my story. We want to be telling his story, what he did in our lives, to the point of where it's bringing him glory, right? And when that happens then, I think this will then occur when they saw it, all the people gave praise to God. Is that not why we're here on earth? To give him glory and to cause others to praise him and bring them to him. And so, brings us full circle. What kind of a witness are you? Are you really bringing glory to God? And because of your giving him glory, are other people giving praise to God? I pray that they are and will. Father, we thank you for this account, and we thank you how this man went from being a beggar to following you, from being blind, but now he sees, from one who had a tough time giving you any glory for anything, but now giving you all glory. And the result of that is the people all saw it, and they are giving you praise. And so, Lord, we want to give you praise this morning. We want to praise you with our lips, as you've told us in Psalm 116, what can we do for you? And the answer comes back, accept the cup of salvation with trembling and offer praises of thanksgiving from our lips. So we do want to praise you. We want to worship you. And we want to be led by your Spirit in prompting us to pray. And here we are. We're not a large group, but we're certainly more than two. And I know great and mighty things are going to result from this prayer this morning just because of our coming to you and saying, Lord, help us. Lord, you handle these things. Lord, we lift them up to you for your will to be done. We want others to see you working in their lives and to give you all glory and all praise. So guide us now and lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name.